You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 22nd of May. The Warriors dispatch the Blazers. What does that tell us about the Western Conference and where the Jazz stand? Dante Exum, two players to cop for him in his career. And then Tony Jones returns for part two. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, hopefully making your offseason a lot more fun to be a Jazz fan. Today's show is available for you on the new app Himalaya. You can get it with its curated playlists and all of its other great features. In fact, they just did an update today on it, so follow Locked On Jazz on the Himalaya app. They've got new shows in May. There's very kind of creative top podcasts and true crime, top podcasts with TV. They sort them all for you in fun kind of manners of that sort. They even had a basketball thing recently. So really a well-done app with a lot of creativity and a different look on things. Also available for you on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded. All right, so last night the Warriors finished the sweep of the Blazers. I just think it's an interesting scenario. We're sitting here holding all these discussions on how the Jazz have to make a major step and redo what they've built. And the Blazers are checking out with what the most successful season in years and this and that. And yet I feel pretty comfortable that, and give them credit, they earned it. Had the Blazers route through the playoffs, the Jazz are probably getting swept or playing the Warriors in five and getting dismantled and disappointed probably after Durant gets hurt and we think that you'd have a chance and all the thing the Blazers fans thought. But Steph is just truly one of the great players in the NBA at this point and just seems to be forgotten on how much he changes the game and what he does. And so here the Blazers are Western Conference finalists, and it's this great kind of step. And they remind me actually a lot of that Jazz team that got to the Western Conference finals kind of through the back door and then I think blown out by the Spurs and never was able to get to that level again. I don't know if that's not that might be the future for the Blazers as well. But it's interesting to me, just I wonder, you know, it'd be great to if we'd still been playing up till last night or even one more night after that. But I wonder, like, would it make us feel differently about what the Jazz need to do next? Maybe more importantly, would it make the outside perspective of where the Jazz are and how close they are be different in the sense of if you're trying to recruit a Tobias Harris or a Kemba Walker to the Jazz, had the Jazz made the Western Conference Finals, would that have been easier to do? It's such an just the perspective that is laid upon you by losing in the first round compared to losing in the Western Conference Finals, both by your own fan base and the outside, is interesting. But the fact is that the Western Conference is very clearly the Warriors and the Rockets are better than everyone else. The Jazz, the Spurs, the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Thunder are all in a comparable circumstance where based on matchups, the playoff series go the way they do. I mean, Denver, who I thought had a great season, they went 7 with the Spurs and lost at home in 7 to the Blazers. Nikola Jokic was great, but they didn't do anything to really make me believe that they were that much closer to the Warriors and Rockets than anyone else. We didn't do that because we got blasted by the Rockets. I'm not sure the Blazers did that, frankly. They beat the Thunder, who have all sorts of dysfunctional issues in the way their roster's built and who their personnel is. And then they had a great series with Denver, and then they just got blasted by the Warriors. So we got blasted by the Rockets earlier. We just didn't get the fortunate part of getting the better series early. And that's our own fault for not being in a position or handling it in a way to get those matchups, you know, by winning more games early in the year. I want to take a look at Dante Exum before Tony Jones joins us today. So it's hard to evaluate Dante, and it's probably just a short take here. So he's played 204 games in five seasons. he's played 56 games in 2 years. The question on Dante is, what position is he? I am moving more and more toward believing that Dante is a small forward at 6'6". And that means that some of his lack of shooting, which is considerable at just 30% from three, 29% this year, 28% last year, becomes less of an issue because of the fact that he's not playing with the ball in his hands and he's playing off ball and he can drive. Now, he only shot 46% from two this last year. You know, he only shot 42% overall. The year before, he shot 54% from two. This year, he shot 46% from two. Now, that was just in 14 games. And so if you go back another year, he shot 49% or 52% from two and just 46% from two this year. So there was not, in the 42 games he played this year, there was not a statistical jump, per se, to in his game. His amount of field goals he took at the rim, he went from shooting, he went back to shooting 55%, which was he was in the 16-17 season. He took the exact same amount there that he's taken, 44% of his shots at the rim. He can certainly get on the rim. The bright spot was his pick and roll play. It got much, much better this last year. He was over a point per pick and roll. That was not, he just had limited play in that. But I also think that the biggest issue with Dante and the injuries is he's not a natural point guard. He doesn't necessarily know how to play the position. He doesn't see the floor from that position. And he's just been injured so much that he's lost the opportunity to do that. The other one is, if he's a two guard, he's really got to shoot it. But his catch and shoot 3-point shooting this year was 30%. His pull-ups were 20% from the field. His wide-open three-point shooting was 34.8%, which was the best it's been. If we go back 2 years ago, he made one pull-up the whole year, so that's a sign of development. He shot 33% from three, and his wide-open shooting 2 years ago was 29%. He's just not a great shooter. Here are the players I pulled to comp where they were at the career and why I think he becomes a three. Trevor Ariza, through the first 5 years of his career at 23, I think I did all these guys at 23 years old. Trevor Ariza had played 311 games. Mo Harkless had played 356 games, and Dante just 204. All of them were playing about 20 minutes a game. Their three-point shootings were Ariza at 30, Dante at 30, Harkless at 31. Their effective field goal percentage, Harkless was the best at 52, Trevor's at 49, and Dante's just at 47. The other two are better rebounders. Dante's a better passer. Their steal rates were the same. Their block rates are similar. You kind of dig into these three guys. This is, I think, the comp for where Dante is going as a player. Now, his shooting has got to get better. These guys are 47% regular shooters, both at 50% in the two-point range, and Dante's just at 40% for his career. So there's, but the field goal rate per 100 possessions is about the exact same. Ariza didn't shoot the three as much. Dante shot the three more than any of them. Ariza went to the free throw line more. Dante and Mo Harkless went to the free throw line about the same amount of time. Dante's just not as good a rebounder, and if he's going to play the three, you'd be deficient in his rebounding capability. But otherwise, there's a lot of similarities, and to me, Dante could bring you a real strength with his ability to handle, his ability to play pick and roll out of that position, and if he gets open threes, you would hope that he can become, you know, the shooter. Obviously, Trevor Ariza has become a pretty good shooter. His career number is still just 35%, and he wasn't a good three-point shooter. Really, in his first good year was at 27. Then he had a great year in his free agent year at 28 at 40%. Mo Harkless is still not a very good shooter. He's kind of had this in-and-out shooting that has allowed, you know, he had a good year and ended up, you know, last year having a terrible year shooting. So he's probably former 15th pick of the draft. We're talking about an elite athlete. He's gone from 28% to 35% to 42% to 28%. He's all over the map, but and is a career three-point shooter at 32%. That's, you know, but he's, and he's 6'9", 220. Dante's 6'6". There's some differences just in pure length, but I think those are the comps going forward for Dante and how I think he could be a really successful, almost Joe Ingles backup to start the year, or just a wing player playing off the ball, running, playing in the open court, making plays with his speed, playing off of other people's actions. To me, that's where Dante will be the most successful in his career. But we'll have to see. Obviously, he's got to stay healthy. There's nothing else more important for him than getting healthy. Father's Day is right around the corner, and dads come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, and so should their shirts, like tall, short, slim, and relaxed. Never wonder why your father's button-up looks so long and baggy at the end of the day? Well, Untuck It has solved that problem. Untuck It is the solution. These shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailored required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code NBA to get 20% off. That's untuckit.com, promo code NBA to get 20% off. Tony Jones joins me coming up. We'll start talking about Derek Favors and what giving him some options, and then we'll play a game with Ricky Rubio where I mention a player and their salary and projected salary compared to Ricky Rubio's and what Tony Jones would do in regards to those. Those are the two things coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Please send TJ a thank you for coming on the show. We super appreciate his time and actually really, really like Tony a great deal. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Hyundai. Murdoch Hyundai is located at 4646 South State Street, as well as in Logan and in Linden. We got our Murdoch Santa Fe. I'll tell you the truth, we have a 16-year-old driver. We thought he was going to get the beater car. And then I saw all the safety features and everything else. Simultaneously, the wife needed a car with three rows of seats. We did the research. What turned out to be the best buy and the safest car we could find out there for the right price? It was the Murdoch Hyundai Santa Fe that we got from Murdoch. Jason helped us out. We had a great experience and have had super customer service experiences since, which match up everything the Murdochs say about their no regrets policy. They want to make sure that when you buy a car from them, you have no regrets and realize that the dealer has gone above and beyond everything they could possibly do to help you out. And they consistently have shown that to us. The new Konas are out there, the little zippy SUVs that are a lot of fun. The Tucsons have been remade and looking sporty. The Santa Fes I've just told you about. The safety features are remarkable. Check out the Murdoch lineup of Hyundais and see if you're in the market for a car, what Murdoch and what Hyundai can do for you. You'll find out that you get more features for the dollar than any other car out there. It's Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street, also located in Linden and in Logan. Hope you caught Tony yesterday. If you didn't, go back and listen to that conversation we touched in segment two on Kemba Walker and on Tobias Harris in the second segment there. Let's go, before we dig into the Favors issue, let's get to this. Do you think it's great for us to talk about Kemba and Tobias, but do you really think there's any chance either of them come to Utah?
I think there's a fighting chance. I don't know. I really don't know about Kemba. I think Kemba's less of a chance. I think Tobias is a chance. I actually think Mike Conley is a chance, and I put Mike Conley and Kemba, like, I would choose Kemba first because of age. But, I mean, if you look at their games in a vacuum right now, like, I think both of those guys really make the Jazz better instantly. I think Mike Conley is really, really, really good. The only thing with Mike Conley is, obviously, is he going to be Mike Conley, you know, 2 years from now, and is he going to be durable? Like, is he going to be on the floor for 75 games? But, you know, I think that there are a number, you know, I think that there are some avenues for the Jazz to go out and get better. And if they execute the off season, the way I think that they want to, then I think that they have a chance to get quite a bit better instantly.
Interesting one, by the way, on Mike Conley that excites me the most on Conley, as we're going to get derailed here in the first second of today's show, is Think about the 2s and 3s he's played with in his career.
He's never played. So Marc Gasol was his best 2.
Right. Like Tony Allen.
Yeah, he was his best 3.
Right. Like, I mean, he's never, like, it's incredible. He's never played with another
player. He's never played
player.
With anybody close to Donovan Mitchell.
Right. Like, wait, are you ready for this? He's never played with a guy who can dribble or pass other than Marc Gasol.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, he had prime Mike Miller for a little bit. But
not
he couldn't
long.
Really dribble.
And he couldn't dribble at that point in his career. He could shoot.
Right.
I didn't say right, like, but Tony Allen couldn't dribble, couldn't pass. Zach Randolph could shoot, but he wasn't like it's incredible when you look back at who Mike Conley has played with in his career. And I'm Tayshaun Prince really couldn't dribble, really couldn't like
nah,
could pass a little.
He was 3 and D,
right? Like it's remarkable.
Mike has played with some shooting. He's played with great bigs. He's played with a lot of length, and he's played with great defenses. He's never played with a guy that could dribble and shoot.
His second year in the league, he had Rudy Gay.
And that wasn't – he wasn't prime Rudy. He was okay Rudy Gay. He was good Rudy Gay.
And where do we classify O.J. Mayo? Because he had O.J. Mayo at one point in time.
Well, O.J. was a disappointment. O.J. was supposed to be all NBA, 10-time All-Star. He was supposed to be really, really good, and he didn't turn out with that. He actually played with Allen Iverson for a year.
Yes, he did. He had Rudy Gay for a few years. He had O.J. Mayo for a few years. But, like, the lineup was the Mike Conley, Tayshaun Prince, Tony Allen, Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol show for 5 years.
See, this is what Chandler Parsons was supposed to be for him, though, and that never materialized.
All right, so Derek Favors is pretty interesting. Derek Favors is a non-guaranteed contract. He's not a free agent. He's a non-guaranteed contract. I believe it's the 5th or the 6th. So it means this: that between July 1st and July 5th, the Jazz can go and act as though they have, what, $38 million worth of cap space, I think is their maximum amount they could have under any circumstances here. If they let Neto and Korver go, they would have, I think, about $38 million. They can go act as though they have $38 million. But if you go sign Kemba Walker, Tobias Harris, or anyone else, you are now letting Ricky Rubio go, which is a free agent. You're allowing, you might not have a choice anyway. Epe and Tabo are gone. Howell Neto's gone. Derek Favors is gone. And Kyle Korver is a $6 million piece. So if you sign someone for under 30 or around 30 or 32, you could probably bring Korver back. The crazy one about all this is, do we actually know the Jazz get better if they sign the two guys we talked about yesterday?
Yes.
Okay.
If you sign Kemba Walker, you're better, no matter what.
And if you sign Tobias, are you better?
I think I would say 95%. Like Kemba Walker, I'm 100%. Tobias Harris, I'm 95%.
Are you comfortable giving Tobias $30 million?
That is the huge question. See, in a vacuum.
He might never play in an All-Star game. You're going to give him $30
million. Exactly. In a vacuum, Tobias Harris, I'm giving him $20 million. But you're the Utah Jazz. You're a small market. You're not a free agent destination. You're going to have to give him the max. That's just the reality of it.
Amen. I agree. I actually don't think, and since Donovan's on his rookie for 2 more years, I just don't think you care that you give him 30. Like, if that's what it takes, you get it done.
Yeah.
So, like, Faves became like the favorite son this year. There was no one on the roster that was more professional. There was no one on the roster that was more committed. There was no one who made less of a ripple during the year. Like, he was the greatest this year.
I can tell you why.
Well, you know him better than anyone.
Yeah, and this is why I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to tell you why. Derek realized at some point this year that his body, so Derek is 27 years old, right? If he plays 25 minutes a night, he's still playing at 36, 37 years old. If he plays 32, 33 minutes a night, his career might be over at 33 or 34. Because that's the way his body works. And I think he realized that.
It's an interesting... The other one that's so interesting about him with the Jazz is that pick and roll with Ingles is so often against a second team center. And it's almost constitutionally illegal. Though actually evidently nothing's constitutionally illegal. But sorry, side note. But I mean, really, when like Ed Davis is really, really good, and when the Jazz played Brooklyn and Ed Davis tried to guard Derek Favors, it was laughable.
He played the best ball of his career. He got his athleticism back. He was durable. And obviously, you know, you look at all of the professionalism off the floor, you know, the fact that he never, like, as you said, he never made a peep. There were so many times, I mean, I can tell you, there were times that Derek was frustrated. Like, there were times that Derek's like, yo, I really want to be out there. But he realized the most impressive thing about Derek in his time with the Jazz is he's, like, simply put, he just became an adult. And he grew up, and he realized just a lot of things. Like, he realized, okay, guess what? I'm not going to be out there for most fourth quarters, but the Jazz are taking care of me, and they're paying me $16 million to do so. And, you know, he realized, and I think that he saw some of the struggles that some of the guys that have left the Jazz have had elsewhere. I think that he realizes that the grass is not always greener elsewhere. And I think he realizes that he's got a good thing here, and he's got a front office that really, really, really loves him and really wants to keep him, which is why I think the first 4 or 5 days of free agency are going to be so interesting. Because I think the front office, they're going to exhaust every opportunity to try and get better, to try and get that next creator on the roster without sacrificing Derek Favors. That's why I am of the opinion that I think the Jazz are going to try to be very aggressive on the trade market as well as the free agency market.
So give me the scenario where the Jazz get better with Derek Favors on the roster when we come back with more. With Tony Jones of The Athletic, he'll answer that question for us as we continue here with our special guest, Tony Jones of The Athletic on the Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. With Father's Day right around the corner, let me remind you about the belt that I'm wearing all the time. It's the Grip 6 belt, a Utah company. It's the best belt ever made. Simply, it's so great. Great gift for dads, brothers, husbands, Father's Day. Grip6.com/lock. Why Grip 6? Because Grip 6 is the only belt with no holes, no flaps, and no bulks. And then it's interchangeable, which is a super fun aspect to it. You have your belt and you have your buckle, and they can be interchanged, so you can change the colors. If it's a golf day, you might want to throw out some of the more flashy colors. If it's a business day, find something that works for you a little bit better in that regard. It's grip6.com/lock for a special deal, and they're guaranteed anytime, any condition, any reason. Locally made in Utah, Grip 6 peaks out on all of the customer service rating systems. You can check it out. They've got it. It's also made with military-grade webbing, rated up to 3,000 pounds. I'm not sure why you're going to need that, but let's just say, like, you know, you're in Zion and you slip. You can use your Grip 6 to save your life and then make big stories and be a okay, that's probably not the reason to buy it. Anyway, grip6.com. Check it out, grip6.com/lock. I wear the belts all the time, exclusively. Our talent now has had access to them and loves them as well across the network. So make sure you check it out. It's grip6.com/lock. And they've got the 3 buckles, 3 straps, and Grip 6 belt hanger for more than 25% off the list price for you. Lifetime guaranteed. Grip6.com/lock. How do the Jazz keep Derek Favors and get better, TJ?
Okay, without saying a specific name,
okay.
The Jazz call Brooklyn up, and they offer $9 million of their salary, or $8 million, or whatever Spencer Dinwiddie is making, and you offer a first-round pick for Spencer Dinwiddie with the knowledge that Brooklyn probably gets Kyrie Irving.
Interesting. Does that make you that much better? So you're Spencer. So Donovan is your point. Do you think Donovan can play point guard?
No, Spencer's your point guard.
Do you think Spencer can play point guard?
I think that Donovan and Spencer are both combo guards, and I think it could be a heck of a backcourt.
Spencer Dinwiddie, Donovan Mitchell moves the meter considerably more than Ricky Rubio, Donovan Mitchell?
Yes, considerably, because Spencer can score.
I don't think I like Spencer as much as you do. I like Spencer, but I don't think I like him as much as you do. I'll tell you that.
I really like Spencer. Like, I really think he's good.
He's your Tobias Harris? To me,
He's my Tobias Harris to you, yeah.
I like Tobias Harris more than he is good. Like, I think that's like I'm willing to admit that my vision of Tobias Harris is not what Tobias Harris is today. So that I like Tobias Harris more than he actually is today.
I think Spencer can score at all three levels. I think he can defend. I think he's hungry. He's never been a full time starter. And I think that if you brought him here, he's an isolation guy or he's a pick and roll guy. He's not going to step on toes. You get to keep Derek. And on top of that, if you keep Derek, you hypothetically trade for Spencer. How much money do you have left? You have $11 million in cap space left. You have $11 million in cap space left.
Well, you have 13 if you renounce all your free agents. And are you keeping Korver?
That's up in the air. So okay. If you don't keep Korver, you have 17.
Is that what it is?
Let's say we don't keep Korver.
All right, so if you don't keep I've tried to get like a little pattern to this one, but I think it's like 13, 20, 38 is kind of the way it works or somewhere in that if you've let everyone go, and then the first tier of everyone, the second tier of everyone, and the third tier of everyone. 13 if you just let the free agents go. I feel like it's 21 if you just cut everyone. And then if you let Favors go too, it's 38. I think that's right.
Okay.
13, 21, 38, I think is the key lock to your master lock on your high school locker.
Okay, so if you keep Favors and keep Korver, you have $13 million if you trade for Spencer Dinwiddie. Correct.
What is Dinwiddie's contract number?
He is 3-38. So I believe.
No, because you traded $9 million and you're taking back 13, then
so you might
have
$8 million.
You only have $8 million left, yeah.
Okay, so you have $8 million plus the room exception, plus Favors and Korver. You can go and you can offer 2 years and $16 million to Trevor Ariza, who helps you a bunch, and you take the room exception. And you go and get the best shooter for that room exception on the market. That you can.
Yeah, I don't know if I think it moves. I mean, it's interesting. Favors to me is fascinating because he's so good at what he does. So good at what he does. And yet, I can't figure out what that value is, right? Like centers, like what do you think Robin Lopez is going to get paid as a free agent this year?
I think because he's such a good defender, I think he comes close to 12 million.
Oh, I think he gets like 3.
You think he gets 3?
Yeah, I think like Robin Lopez gets 3 million this year.
See, like I think Robin Lopez is a great defender.
Yeah, I don't think centers get paid. I think there's like 30 free agent centers on the market, and there's like 5 teams that are looking for him.
Well, see, that's the thing. See, like I just looked at that in a vacuum, and I didn't. So let's look at the reality of this. The reality of this is that this market is going to be so saturated this year. Like there are so many good players. Half the league is going to be in free agency, and there are not that many teams with cap space. It's one of the reasons why I believe that the Jazz are going to be successful in free agency, because there is not enough money to go around. They are eventually going to find a good player that is going to take the money that they offer.
So, I hate these conversations. I know you avoid them really well. I just think this is a fascinating debate. So Favors is $17 million, right?
Right.
Derek Favors, $17 million. Dwayne Dedman, $3 million. Who do you want?
I'd take Favors at 17. Dedman's good. Favors dominates second units.
Ed Davis, just like we said. Ed Davis, $3 million. Derek Favors, $17
million. That's a little closer.
Kenneth Faried, $2 million. Derek Favors, $18 million. Because it's Derek Favors, it's somebody else at that. I don't know who the other stretch for, right? Like, I mean, it's not just, you're not just making that trade. You're using that $18 million for somebody else.
Right. So what about Derek Favors sign and trade for somebody?
Well, that was what I was just going to get to. The next thing is, if you strike out on Kemba Walker, you strike out on Tobias Harris, then you're re-signing Derek Favors. But the fact is, what he is at that point is an incredibly valuable $18 million trade piece.
Exactly.
Like that's how you make the Mike Conley deal.
That's how you make the Mike Conley
deal. Or that's how you make, if for some reason, I don't think New Orleans trades Jrue Holiday, but if they trade Anthony Davis and they're going to really rebuild and they need a center, then suddenly that's your Jrue Holiday piece.
Now, I think Jrue Holiday might make the Jazz better than anybody else on the market, including Kemba Walker.
Really?
I think Jrue Holiday is incredible.
Really?
Oh, you don't?
No, he's a pretty perfect, like, if you want to build the perfect player to sit next to Donovan Mitchell, who's not quite a point guard but can handle it enough, who's big
Good
enough to
Lord.
Defend the other guy if you need to, he's just not a great shooter. Like, his actually shooting numbers are, last year Ricky Rubio shot better than him.
Yeah, that's all fine and good. He gets to the basket on anybody.
Right. No,
and
I agree.
And when he gets to the basket, he finishes.
It's pretty fascinating.
And he's an incredible defender. He can defend 1 through 4. Like, he's an incredible defender. Like, the reason why I thought Donovan Mitchell was the real deal was because I saw what he did to Jrue Holiday in that December game last year when he dropped 41. Like, he did that to Jrue Holiday. And I said, if Donovan can do that to Jrue Holiday, he can do that to anybody. He's an incredible player. Because Jrue Holiday locks up.
Yeah, I don't think. What do you think New Orleans does here?
I don't think they trade Jrue Holiday. I think they'd be dumb to. Because I think now that they have Zion Williamson, I mean, I think they can make a relatively quick turnaround.
You think Anthony Davis stays?
No, I don't.
When his choice is the Knicks or the Pelicans, you think he stays?
I think he goes to the Knicks because I think he thinks that Kevin Durant's going there.
It's interesting. Sam Amick had an interesting theory on Locked On NBA last week that Durant's going to the Clippers with Kawhi.
That would be bad for the Jazz.
Yeah, because then Kyrie goes to the Lakers.
And yeah. And all of a sudden, if you're the Jazz, you have to get Kemba.
And then, by the way, Anthony Davis goes to the Lakers, and they are Anthony Davis, Kyrie, and LeBron.
Yeah, and then they're monsters.
Uh-huh.
Then if you're the Jazz and you want to stay in that top five, you have to get Kemba. Or you have to get Tobias. Like, you have to.
All right, before I let you go, is there any other free agent out there? We talked about the two biggies, the hardest probably to try to get. Are you a Malcolm Brogdon, a Nikola Mirotic, a Bojan Bogdanović, a Harrison Barnes, a Julius Randle, a Terrence Ross, a Jeremy Lamb, a Trevor or Terry Rozier, a Trevor Ariza, like Thaddeus Young, like any of these move your meter?
Not as main guys. Brogdon comes closest. I think Brogdon is awfully good. I don't see the Jazz offering a restricted free agent and tying up their salary for 3 days. Let's put it this way. I think if the Jazz offer any restricted free agent on the market, I think they have incredible intel that free agent is going to say, that free agent's team is not going to match the offer. I don't think that they're going to take a chance.
All right, final thing for you, Tony. Let's assume Ricky Rubio is about a $13 million player. Is that fair?
Yes, let's assume.
Okay, 13 to 15, somewhere in there. I'm going to say a player's name. You say, and obviously salary tiers are going to be a little different, and I'll tell you when I think we get cheaper than Ricky Rubio. And you're going to tell me Jazz are better off with this player on their contract than Rubio at 15. It's not that the player is better than Rubio, but you're better off with this player at their contract. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. Kemba, max.
Yes. Better off.
D'Angelo Russell, 25.
I'm going to say yes, even though you have made me pause. But I'm going to say yes.
Goran Dragic at, same contract as Ricky Rubio, 15.
How many games is Goran Dragic playing?
That's why I asked you.
How many games is he playing? You're telling me how many games he's playing before I make this answer.
65? Yep.
That means you got to go 17 without him?
Yep.
That's a pretty big chunk of the season. When Ricky's really durable, I'm going to say Ricky.
Terry Rozier at what, 18?
Oh, yeah, Ricky. Definitely Ricky.
Darren Collison at 12?
Ricky.
Corey Joseph at?
Ricky.
Tom?
I don't like Corey Joseph.
DeLon Wright at 10?
DeLon Wright.
He actually shoots worse than Ricky, by the way, just to let you know.
He shoots worse, but let's go through this. DeLon Wright is a monster defensive.
I got you. Patrick Beverley, 10?
Patrick Beverley.
Elfrid Payton, 7?
Ricky Rubio.
It's funny. I'm not sure on that one. I still have a little thing for Elfrid Payton. What other point guard free agents on my list have I forgotten about? Derek Rose, I don't think we have to worry about. Thomas Satoransky at 7.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Restricted free agent. Do you think you can get him at 7 as a restricted free agent?
I don't think you can get him at all because the Wizards are going to be without John Wall.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Thomas Satoransky, though, because I think he's pretty good.
Tyus Jones at 7.
I'm going to still say Ricky Rubio, but it's not by much because Tyus Jones is pretty good.
And I don't think – like Jeremy Lin can't play. Shelvin, no. Rajon Rondo, no. Isaiah Thomas, no. Right? You're with me. Michael Carter Williams, no. Jose Calderon, no. You know who I actually like is that Ryan Archie Diacono peaks out.
He
peaks out on a bunch of numbers as a backup point guard.
Oh no, you don't.
Not more than Ricky, but I think that's an interesting little exercise we just wrap this up on. For all this talk of like we know Ricky's gone, like we just kind of decided that Kyrie and Kemba are better. D'Angelo, you paused. Dragic, we weren't sure. Terry Rozier, you took Ricky, right? Like Satoransky at a lower number, DeLon Wright at a lower number, Patrick Beverley at a lower number. Were your three guys, right?
Right. Right.
I mean, so it really gets down to, are you comfortable with Donovan Mitchell being your point guard?
If you can see, that's the thing. If you can get a wing, or you just make Royce O'Neal your wing.
I like Royce.
Like, I think Royce O'Neal has done enough this year that you can go in the next year and be comfortable if he had to be your starter.
I did a whole podcast on that. You should listen to it sometime. It's pretty good. It's called Locked On Jazz.
I bet you agreed with me, though.
I did. TJ, you're the best. Appreciate your time, and we will talk soon.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
See you, buddy. That is Tony Jones. David James comes to you tomorrow on the program. Special thanks to TJ for taking the time. Send him a thank you at T Jones NBA. I think it is on Twitter. Make sure you send him a thank you. Today's show brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own hotel with Hotels.com. Get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Also, Untucked. Untucked.com. Promo code NBA to get 20% off. And Grip6.com/lock. Grip6 has a special offer for you. Grip6.com/lock. Thanks very much for tuning in to Locked On Jazz. Locked On NBA has got the daily recap for you. A lot of fun for you, as well as across the whole network. Check out what the Warriors are saying, how the Blazers are reacting, all of those kind of things. Have a great day. Thanks. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.